Good to see everybody tonight. We're somewhat reduced in number between those who are traveling right now, and we've got quite a number who are not feeling good. We heard from Justin and Julie today. They have COVID. You don't have to worry about them having given it to you, though. They haven't been here since before Christmas. It was one of those things that just kind of crept up on them. But also, Joe Bill Dempsey was down with something. They weren't sure what it was. They tested him for COVID, and he didn't have it earlier this past week, and his breathing just kept getting worse and worse, and now he has pneumonia and COVID. So I don't know what he had to start with, but he's adding to it, and so he's been admitted to the hospital. His oxygen is quite low now, and so please keep Joe Bill and Glenda and all the Dempsey family in your prayers as they struggle with this. In addition to that, we just have lots of colds and whatever the drought cough is. I don't know what you could call it other than a drought cough, but we've had a lot of people that have been down, and some of y'all are getting better as the days go by, and we're certainly grateful for that. But lots going on, and we do want to remember all that and all those in our prayers. We started this morning talking about the new year and what an opportunity that we have. One of the things I love about Christianity is the fresh start aspect of it. There's clearly a fresh start when you're born again. Have your sins washed away, raised to walk in newness of life. You're in Christ, and you have all the blessings that follow from that. But we also have the opportunity to start afresh at any moment that we decide to. One of the beauties of God's grace is that He will allow us, as long as we draw breath, to restart, to redevote, to rededicate our lives to Him. And that's one of the reasons I think I like the first part of the new year so much, is it it helps in a way with perspective. We've been through a lot of new years, some of us, and some of y'all are just a few as far as your memory goes. But you remember the opportunities for the new start. And very likely you'll also remember the many failures and how long those new starts sometimes didn't last very long. I want to encourage you to really get serious about God. And I know many of y'all already are. I don't have to tell you that. And I didn't have to tell you that even if you were in the process of planning that. But I do believe we need to encourage one another on in this. We all need this to become more serious for God. And the theme of today's lesson, I guess if you want to call it a theme, or the focus, is to do more for God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 is where I want to start with that. And it involves taking care of each other in the right way, by the way. Because there is something that we are to do for one another, and there is something that we're to do for ourselves. And so, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul begins by saying, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." We correctly understand that we're no longer under the law, being the old law. But one of the things that many people miss within the brotherhood sometimes is the fact that we are under a law, and it's called the law of Christ. And we're bound to that. We're servants of God and servants of Christ. But if we'll carry each other's burdens, we'll fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Isn't that interesting? It starts off by saying carry one another's burdens, and it ends up by saying carry your own load. And I believe the implication is this. There are some things that we cannot be expected to handle on our own. It's just too much. I found that out yesterday when I was putting a piece of sheetrock up on the ceiling over my head. And fortunately, Carolyn came in. And, of course, Carolyn is much stronger than me to begin with. And so I had Carolyn hold the sheetrock against the ceiling while I put it up. And it worked really good. I couldn't have done it by myself. And so we see that physically, but sometimes when it comes to something that is spiritual or emotional spiritual, or even physical, that is something maybe that's a little more personal, we sometimes miss that. There are burdens that people cannot be expected to carry on their own. It will crush them. And part of being a good brother, a good sister in Christ, is recognizing that. There's also another thing. Each one should carry his own load. This is the proper amount. This is the part that not only are we able to bear, but we're expected to bear. We're not expected to become a burden on somebody else by having them help us carry our reasonable loads. And so it takes a little bit of wisdom, doesn't it? Sometimes we won't always make the right decision. But this is one of the areas, I believe, as we start approaching this new year, And in this era in which we live, I do believe we need to be more outward looking to see where we can legitimately help. There will always be people who will offer to let you help them in areas that's their responsibility. I'm not talking about that. We get calls all the time from people asking us if we'll pay for their utilities, and I always feel tempted to ask them, "Would you pay for mine?" but I don't. But when it comes to food and other things, the reason that we don't with certain things is there's just so much that we can do. Now, obviously, if a brother or sister had a need, even in that area, we would want to help them as best we could. But again, it takes wisdom. There will be people that will take advantage, but we still need to be looking out to try and help more. There's something else about all this. As far as doing more, there's also an aspect of living a fuller life. I really believe that we get in ruts to the point where we stop enjoying life. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired. We're just so busy that we don't even think about the blessings that God has given us, other than momentarily. It's not that we're ungrateful. It's just that we just kind of get deeper and deeper in a rut. And sometimes our lives just become joyless. Since joy is a fruit of the Spirit, that's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual ailment. You're not going to be giddily happy. Is giddily a word? I don't have Jessica here. When she gets back, I'll ask her. Y'all ask her. I won't remember. But we do need to have joy. Back when educators were educators, there was a president of Stanford. I think it was the 1890s that he said this. I wasn't there. But he was talking, I believe, to the incoming students, the freshman class. And he was just talking to them about the importance of making something of their lives. And all, you know how it is with, I don't guess it's ever changed for freshmen. There's new things. They're away from home. There's new temptations. There's all sorts of things. And he just said, "The only way I have found to make coffee is to put some in." And he then said, "If you want to have an abundant life, you're going to have to put something in it of your life." if you want a satisfying service before God, you're going to have to put something in it. God's duty is not to make you happy, but He has, and He has provided for our happiness. But he created. Here is the thing. Maybe that if you don't go home with anything else tonight, go home with this. And it's something you already know. But if God were to withdraw His breath, you would cease to exist. The universe would cease to exist. Why is it that we get in our lives to thinking that our life is something other than for God? There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. I think we ought to enjoy life. I think that's one of the things that will attract people to Christianity. But we forget it's not my job, my house, my family, my money, my time. It's God's. And any resource that He gives you, any blessing that He allows you to enjoy is a tremendous gift. But the moment we start grabbing it back and saying, I would do this for you, God, but I have to take care of this and this and this and this. When He gave them to us for His service, if He were to withdraw His breath right now, you would cease to exist. Since that's the case, and since most of us have had at least moments in our life where we were giddily happy, and for me, that's most of my life, we owe Him a lot. Jesus died for us. We owe Him a lot. John chapter 15 and verse 1, maybe Jesus puts the perspective about as well as anything as far as what we need to be doing. He said, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And did you catch that part? If you're not bearing fruit, God will cut you out of Christ. This is a guarantee. This is not an idle threat. I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Think about a fruit tree. When it ceases to bear fruit, it just becomes a glorified weed. It's just taking up the soil and the water. I think some of y'all are familiar with salt cedars. Salt cedars probably inch for inch take up more moisture than any other plant that there is. I read about a man over in the hill country of Texas who bought a large, it wasn't arid obviously because it was in the hill country, but it was kind of a huge acreage that people considered ruined. And what he did was he went in and he removed all these, I don't know if they were salt cedars or if they were the hill country's equivalent of it, but he removed them all. And within a few years, the water table started recharging itself and springs started coming up and a lake actually came up. It's called Sela, after the pause in Psalms. And I think, I don't know if he's still alive, but at one point I think he'd been there 40 years, and schools would take field trips out there to see what he had done and see how the land had changed and how birds would come in and take advantage of the water and how the wildlife was there and all the things that were growing. When we bear fruit, we're very useful. But when we stop bearing fruit, the only thing we're fit for is to cut down so that the water can be used for something else, the nutrients in the soil. When Jesus goes on to say, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be ever more fruitful. You ever accidentally pruned part of yourself? It hurts. When it says that God prunes you to make you more fruitful, sometimes this comes with pain, discomfort, effort. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, Jesus says to His apostles. But for everybody, remain in me, and I will remain in you. I think at least on 8 occasions, it may be more in John 15, He says, remain in me. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. We're bearing fruit for Christ. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. This is how we can tell if we're in Christ. Are we bearing much fruit? If we're not, we might just be fooling ourselves. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you would remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. And this is the next principle. We do not have to bear fruit on our own. God will help us to bear good fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. My brother-in-law, Alvin Jr., when he grows pecan trees, he starts marking down how many pecans he gets off of them. You know, the first year might be, 19 or something like that. It doesn't seem like much for all the effort. And the next year might be up in the 30s. But before you know it, he's got lots of pecans off of those trees. The fruit that you bear might not seem like much right now, but it has the potential of being explosive. One of the reasons that we talk about doing more for God is sometimes it takes just a little more to do great things. But if we are not willing to give that little more, we will atrophy and die. And there will come a point where God will remove us. And so we have to be very conscious of that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Remember, we just read in 1 John, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Look at what he'll do. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can ask for a lot and I can imagine for a whole lot more. But when we ask God, when we are in Christ, and we ask God for what we need to serve him, he is able to so far exceed your expectations that you don't even have the potential to imagine what he can do for you. I think sometimes we just look at ourselves from a purely humanistic perspective, and we just see the negatives in our life, and we don't realize what God is able to do with the few things that we are willing to do for him, and how he is able to continue to make that bear more and more fruit until we're doing great things for him. Not because we're great. What was it that verse 8 said in John 15? It is to his glory. But he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that it is work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ throughout all the generations forever and ever. Now think about this. Why is it that we ease back on the throttle sometimes? We've just spent 2 years with people. Every time you turn something on or open something up to read or you try and go do something, you're reminded of this terrible disease that's sweeping the nation. It is a terrible disease. People have died from it. More people will get it and more people will die from it. And there's an awful lot of other terrible diseases that more people will get and more people will die from. And maybe this is a little bit greater than some of the diseases that we have had in the past. But if you hunker down because of that, if you allow people to say things are really bad and you start hunkering down and you stop serving God, you're going to miss out on what God is able to do. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. When you get tempted to be discouraged because of some of the things that are going on, understand that when you became a Christian, you received the Holy Spirit within you, not to do miraculous things, but it is your seal of redemption. He hears and intercedes when we pray to God. The Holy Spirit within us, the one who is in us, and by the way, we're told we have the Spirit of God within us, with the Spirit of Christ within us, the Holy Spirit within us. And we're told if we don't have the Spirit within us, we fail the test. But the one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. We cannot lose unless we give up and join those who are in the world. When we talk about doing more, sometimes we feel so beaten down by all the things that are going on, and sometimes by all the nonsense that is going on, that we just either give up or we stop serving as hard or with as great of effort. And because of that, we miss the great blessings that God has for us. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, Jesus points out something that I think is absolutely critical as we think about the things that we can do for God, and they are great things that we can do for God. Understand that it's because of His greatness, not our own. Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Anyone who wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." When we talk about our service to God and the fact that He is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine, that can puff you up if you are not careful, if you don't realize that it is God who is great and not you. Philippians 4:13, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." After we understand that it is God who is great, understand this, there's nothing you cannot do. When I was younger, I can remember doing certain things. It seemed like I could run and not get tired. I could jump I didn't have to go into traction the next day. I could do all sorts of. It seemed like I had unlimited energy. And there were times it just seemed like there just wasn't anything I couldn't do. I loved athletics. I loved pitting myself against other people. It's an exhilarating feeling. That time is long past. But I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. There are things that you and I can do for God if we will. We can have unlimited energy for Him. And we have unlimited potential if we will exercise it. "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength" is obviously talking about whatever God wants us to do, we can do. I don't know what happens in our lives, but I think there are times we just kind of get beat down and we get tired and we run out of energy. It's bad enough to run out of physical energy. That happens to us all. But when we run out of energy to do things for God, we become dead wood. And we become in danger of God pruning us from the vine. We cannot get that way. And one of the main reasons we cannot get that way is because so many people are depending on us. If you've ever been in a situation where you were tired and ready to give up and you realized there were other people who needed your help, you'll understand this. We do get tired, but that doesn't reduce the number of people who are expecting us to be faithful. You have to get to heaven so that you can take other people with you. It's obviously going to be through the saving blood of Christ and through the grace of God. But you have to get to heaven, because if you don't, there will be other people who won't. And that means you have to be going to heaven right now. Because if you're not going to heaven right now, you can't help others go with you. And again, we're not discounting the fact that it is God and Christ who save, but we have our part. We can do anything through Him who gives us strength, but we have to do it. And we have to commit it to God. To man belongs the plans of the heart, Proverbs 16:1, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. If you want to do more for God, that's good. Commit it to Him, and it's going to work out much better than you would imagine. The final thing is this, Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We've all given up at times, or at the very least, we have slacked off on the throttle from time to time. When we do that, we endanger others. But when we press on, when we keep on going, when we use the strength that God has given to us, there's nothing we cannot do. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let me encourage you to do more this year, even if you get tired. Especially if you get tired, do more. You'll have a fuller life, and others will benefit. Invitation's open. If you're ready to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.